day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Morehead Mayor David Perkins, who said the agenda was kind of boring, not much on it, so that's today's front page. We'll see you next time.
Well, we better not cut it quite that short.
No, not quite that short. There were some things that did take place of importance, I know, and I guess we could start at the top. You get various reports from different entities. Was there anything in that area that proved to be of consequence?
Not really. Tourism director was sick, so she didn't come. We had a plant board report, and they, Mr. Teeger, who is our representative to the plant board, and was talking about the very high number of water main breaks we had over the really bad weather. And that's just, it's the nature of that beast. When you have that kind of weather, you expect, you know, problems with your water main because, you know, the ground freezes. Even after it starts thawing out on top, it keeps moving underneath. And, you know, 3 days after you got a warm spell, you got water mains popping.
That's what I understand. It's not so much the freezing, but it's the thawing that creates the issues.
You know, it's the movement. Now, if you get a big snow on, and then it gets cold, it doesn't have that much effect on it.
Is that because of the insulation
Absolutely.
Of the snow?
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, if you've been around long enough and you deal with those issues, you know the snow is good in that scenario, that type of scenario. But, you know, we didn't have that. We had mostly a lot of bare ground and then near zero temperatures. So it's like Katy bar the door.
Was it expensive to fix all the breaks?
I guarantee it was. Now, we don't deal with them directly. You know, once they get water flowing out in the street and it's below freezing, they will call us to come, you know, when we have it, provide salt to keep you from having sheets of ice across the whole street. But the plant board deals with those issues on their own. And, of course, sometime later this spring when we get blacktop plants up and go around and, you know, repair the streets that have been damaged. It's just a constant battle on both sides of that fence, to, you know, for them to keep the pipes together and for us to, working with them to keep the streets put together. And this has been a very hard winter on everybody's streets.
Mm-hmm. I was told that the city, and not just the city, but the county possibly also as well, completely out of salt. Is that accurate? Or
I think it is. I didn't know it until late Friday, but we got a load of salt Friday afternoon. And it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? You know, we're still waiting on some stuff that we've got ordered and get our, you know, see where we are, what we've got ordered, get it in and see where we are on our storage. And if we need more, we'll order to fill up our storage facility, you know, in anticipation of next season, because we don't want to start a winter season with empty salt storage.
Well, as we sit here today, we're expecting a 70-degree day. But if you start to nudge ahead in the forecast, you notice that there's a little bit of snow in there late tomorrow. Temperatures coming up overnight around 15 degrees, I think, in the next couple of nights or so.
Yep.
So we may not be out of the woods yet.
Well, hopefully that, you know, with the warmer temperatures we've had, that will be a here this minute and gone the next scenario. It is warming up out there. As I came across the backside of campus this morning, there was a young lady in a sleeveless dress going to class, and I'm going, my God, I'm freezing, and she's no sleeves on.
She must be from a northern city. For her, this is springtime.
Young people have circulation.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, you and I have talked about the weather from time to time on the program, and when we look back, it's been a while since we've had a winter that's combined with all the ice and snow and cold that we've had this year.
We've gotten, some would say, lucky, but we've dodged a lot of bullets. You know, the weather in the last 10 years has been all over the charts. But probably if you looked at the long, long view, it may not be that weird. But, you know, we tend to have short memories. So it's, you know, we had 2 or 3 winters of relatively mild temperatures, a little bit of snow, and no really harsh temperatures. And now we've got a dose of reality this winter, and it's like, ooh, we don't like this.
Well, I was looking at the agenda, and the one thing I really kind of caught my eye was the discussion of projects around the city. So I turned the page, and lo and behold, there's a whole bunch of them listed: projects in progress, projects to begin, and projects in the approval process. And there's a lot more than what I ever dreamed.
Yeah, this is a report from our planning inspections department. And this is things that are going on in the city that's new, or, you know, it's either under construction, in the middle of approval process, or we know it's coming. And it's, some of it's commercial, some of it's residential. I think we've only got one actual single-family house in the picture, but it's, most of it is light commercial and a lot of residential multifamily units. And there's a demand for all this. But that's, you know, it's two-thirds of a page full of information that we're looking at here. And it's, you know, people that our planner talks to from other communities, is that, what are you all doing up there that you got this stuff going on? And, you know, we just try to encourage people, and if they've got a legitimate thing going on, we try our best to work with them. You know, we've got to follow the rules that are handed to us, and we have to hand those to whoever's going to do a project. And, you know, if we can all get on the same page, then let's go for it.
You mentioned all the residential construction that's going on, and several of them are small apartment buildings, it looks like, and many of these are near downtown or just outside downtown, and I always think that's a good thing when you talk about revitalizing a downtown.
It is. Of course, we'd like to have more stuff going on near the center of town, but, you know, whoever has the resources has not decided that's something they want to do yet. So we keep getting pressured. You know, what are y'all going to do about it? And it's like, well, you know, we're not in business to be, you know, for a profit enterprise. We provide basic city services and some oversight, and we will encourage private enterprise, but we're not supposed to be in all those businesses.
Well, I think that's sort of the area that Tony Pence is in as the Moorhead Main Street manager. I mean, that's more of his, I guess, trying to encourage people to do that type of stuff. But, you know, we talked about this the last time on the show. He's doing a lot of that right now. And, I think eventually a lot of those efforts will pay off.
He's got a lot of energy and a lot of contacts. He knows everybody and their grandmother, so to speak. And, you know, he does have some resources that do have kind of the money that it would take to do some development. It's convincing them that this is a place to, you know, expend those monies.
One of the businesses I saw, and this, I guess, is over on Stone Street near the Newtown area, which, for those of you unfamiliar with Newtown, that's over by Buffalo Wild Wings, yeah. Also the theater and that stuff. I mean, they're going to be building a shopping center there, and a Cookout Burger will be coming into that area too as well. Do you have any idea what the plans are for starting those projects?
I think the Cookout Burger facility is probably ready to go to construction, just probably waiting on weather. The other one, the larger one, we're in plan review right now. I think they've got initial approval from planning and zoning, so that may be close to getting ready for construction. You know, I know that our planner inspector has spent a lot of time looking at the blueprints that have been submitted, and I'm positive that the zoning people have looked at, planning commission has looked at it and given it initial approvals. So we're probably close to getting construction, I think a lot of people want to get the decent weather so that they're not up to their waist in mud.
Well, I saw here on the reports, and this kind of sparked this question, it said tourism and conference center report, and I know that you're without a conference center manager right now, and I think Joy Brown, who used to be the conference center manager, who's now the executive director of tourism, is kind of taking on that role again.
She's wearing both hats in the interim.
Well, they searched for a replacement for Gina Thompson, who took a job at St. Clair Regional Medical Center back in mid-February. How's that process going in your mind?
I'm not directly involved in it. That's the Tourism Commission's purview. You know, we do communicate, but we don't necessarily involve in the day-to-day operations and all that. You know, they have a board that's charged with that responsibility. So other than general big picture oversight, we don't get involved. It's kind of the same way with the utility plant board. They're under the city's umbrella, but they're not under our immediate direct control. And it's, you know, they have their own board too. So both those entities operate semi-autonomously.
Well, speaking of jobs, the fire major's job came up last night, and I think that was finalized. Is that correct?
That's correct. So we'll be looking to move forward on that. We did several things that have to do with job classifications and so forth within the city, kind of revising, updating those. And that was just one of those pieces of this, what appears to be a very boring agenda. And had the second reading on our pay classification schedule, which you rank different positions and they fit in a certain pay slot, which is, you know, usually it's a wide range of dollars for a given position. That's standard across, you know, our type of operations. What else? Established changing the title of our assistant city clerks to deputy clerk, and in the process updating the job descriptions and responsibilities for those individuals.
So are they going to be able to wear like little badges and put bullets in their pockets like Barney Fife?
I don't think so. in fact, I don't think you can't carry a concealed weapon in the city hall, so what good would that do? We don't want them running around with hardware strapped on.
But it's important to do these things. I mean, occasionally you have to make sure that you're up to date with your job classifications and people get paid what they should be paid in order to keep good employees.
Exactly. And, you know, if you don't occasionally review yourself and see how you match up against what the current standards are, you know, you find yourself way, way behind. Several of these municipal orders have dealing with those same issues for the police department. We've got two of them, and each one has four or five sections that are being updated in the police policies. They're in the middle of reaccreditation, which is basically a peer review situation where police officials from other agencies across the state, maybe even out of state, come and look at our processes and operations and say, you know, you're doing a good job or you need to change this and yada, yada, yada. And this is about every five-year thing. If we maintain the accreditation, it saves us money on our liability insurance. So it's worth the time and trouble. It is a pain in the neck. So we upgraded a whole bunch of our policies. Part of them have to do with changes in the law, which required us to make our changes. Some of them are stuff that we pretty much were already doing, but we needed it in print. So it's housekeeping.
Hmm. Well, speaking of the police department, we haven't talked about this for a while. Of course, they took over the old city hall there on Main Street here. I guess it was about a year and a half ago now?
Mm-hmm. It's been about a year since they actually got finished with their renovations upstairs. But
and how's that been? I mean, and I know they also had to find a way to sort of at least manage the mold down in the lower end of the building. What's the latest you can tell us about all that?
Well, we've done some investigating in the last two or three weeks. The room we thought was the hottest, we cut some holes into the wall to investigate. The mold's not there. We did locate in other areas, but the room we thought was going to be the real bugaboo, it's like, well, what happened here? You know, it's dry, a little bit dusty, but no mold. And we were getting some pretty high readings in that area, so we're not quite sure what transpired there.
But there are some other spots.
There
that
are some
have to
areas
fix
that do have issues, and they're not used hardly any as far as personnel being in the immediate area. So it's not an immediate issue. It's just you keep it in the back of your mind. The building is, you know, it's a 1930s era facility. It's served its purpose, but it's still we're still looking towards something new wind resources and circumstances allow it.
I'm going to ask you about that here in a second. We need to take a break right now. We're on the front page today. We're talking with Moorhead Mayor David Perkins about general city business, and we'll do some more of that right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Moorhead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
Welcome back to the front page. Again, I'm Chuck Moraz, and our guest is Moorhead Mayor David Perkins. We're talking about the fact that right now the police department is in the old city hall on Main Street, but that's really only basically in the long range of things, kind of a temporary fix for the police department. They'll be getting a building at some point in time, hopefully maybe with the fire department. I know that you've had some discussions with Moorhead State President Dr. Wayne Andrews about even maybe a combined facility that would involve Moorhead State's police department and the other two entities we discussed. Have you had any more discussions about that?
Well, he and I had a discussion. He and I and Beth Patrick had discussions. And then I went and talked to my police chief at length. And after a lot of thought, we've come to the conclusion that we might physically share a facility, but operationally, there are enough differences and policy differences between the two institutions that it probably would not be a good fit. You know, we still feel like we could probably physically share a building space. You know, you could all keep adding square footage to about anything. So that we, you do have the functional operations, but you don't mix your operating processes together. You know, the chief had a lot of what I felt were legitimate reasons that we probably should not mix the two operations. And I don't let him make my decisions, but at the same time, if you don't listen to the people that know what they're doing, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're not opposed to having facility sharing, but we were hoping, the initial discussion was maybe saving everybody some money, but on operations, but it won't work. We don't think it would work, but it should.
Hmm. So at this point, you mentioned it's just about now just sharing the building. It's not about, say, sharing even dispatchers or anything like that.
No, at this point, we don't think that would be a good fit for either institution. And, you know, we don't want to create issues when there really aren't any. So we think physically being in the same building is one thing, but operationally mixing would probably cause issues.
Well, even if you share a facility, there would be, I guess, the challenge of finding a location for that building that would be suitable for both the city and
university
police, because they have to be right there.
They need to be in
campus.
Very close proximity, yep, to campus, and access to where you could disperse, in our case, officers in a given direction rapidly without gomming up traffic or being entangled in traffic. That's an important thing. And if we were to have the fire department in the same facility, which is what we'd kind of looked at, that becomes an even bigger issue, to where you can get in and out and not be fighting huge amounts of traffic, which we certain places in the community, we do have that. Where Station 1 is now, next out near the old middle school, that's becoming a place where it's not a good place to kind of get in and out because of the huge volumes of traffic. So we're looking at other areas.
On another matter, I know another topic that we've discussed quite often here in recent months, what might happen with the pool down at the city park, that there is some leakage in there and possibly there could be maybe a crack at the bottom, or there is a crack at the bottom and possibly what may be going on with that. What's the latest on the situation that you can tell us?
Council approved resolution for me to contract with an engineering firm that we've been in discussions with. They're going to do some seismic testing using some fancy equipment to see if what's underneath the concrete or behind the concrete. You know, it's possible we may have some voids in there. We've got a little bit of deck subsidence around the pool, but we're losing water. And it's a couple of scenarios it could be. We'd like to try to figure out which one it is and then decide if it's something that can be fixed with a reasonable amount of money or if the pool has finally served its time and it's time to put it to sleep. You know, it's quite possible that this summer we may not have a pool, even if we decide to fix it because of the time frame. And, you know, if we have to jackhammer up concrete and get in there and replumb and put it back, or it could be a shortened season. Right now, we just don't know.
So at this point, you're just trying to figure out what exactly still is going on there and why, and until you do, you can't really move forward with a battle plan.
Exactly, and because of the rather unpleasant winter we've experienced, you can't get in there and do those kind of things until it's get where you can. We've got to pump the water that's in the pool out to do some of this testing, and it's kind of hard to pump it when it's big chunks of ice.
I saw something here that kind of plays into this. We talked about perhaps this local sales tax option that they might give to municipal governments like cities and counties essentially, I'll explain what would happen is that if there was a project that, say, an entity wanted to undertake, for instance, a public pool, you would tell the voters, this is what we need to do, and we would add a special tax with your approval. You would vote on it. You'd have special approval on this. We would enact the tax. We would build the project, and then when the project was completed,
tax
goes away. However, it looks like, from what we understand, we just heard this morning, that local sales tax option may be dead on arrival in the Kentucky legislature.
Well, the bill has been out there for several weeks, and there's been a really big push, particularly by Louisville and Lexington, because they can see the value in it. And by serving on the KLC Board of Directors, that's been a fairly large item for discussion early in the legislative process because cities are pretty much in favor of it. There are a few issues that may be a little hard to iron out because it does involve counties, and there are limits on the rates you can set. But a lot of states have these things. They don't even have the time limit. They just have local sales tax. But this is a way to let the citizens in a given area say, we want to do this project or we don't want to do this project. You know, it's not up to just a handful of us politicos, if you will, but, you know, it involves the whole public. And that's where government hits, you know, democracy is where the whole populace gets to decide.
I think I heard one senator say that the fear was, at least one of the fears, was that you'd have this project built and then the state would then have to provide money to help maintain that project at some point, whether it's, you know, I guess pool chemicals in this case or maybe patching up the pool in some other cases. That's just an example. In your mind, is that a legitimate argument?
No, I think that's bogus. You know, the state doesn't give us money to do hardly anything now. So why would they anticipate doing something else? You know, we get a little bit of money to maintain roads, but even that's gone down. So, you know, I think that's just a sorry excuse to not do something.
Well, I still like the fact that the voters would be the ones to say, yes, we're willing to take on this tax, or no, we're not.
Agreed. And because it's a constitutional amendment, voters get the first say in the on the front end of it, to have it or not have it. And then if it does pass on a given project, the voters still get the control of it. So, you know, from somebody in my position, we better come up with a good project or program or it's not going to get off the ground.
Mayor, as always, the time has gone quickly, and we appreciate your time today on Front Page.
It's always been fun to come up here.
All right. More in Mayor David Perkins on Front Page today. I'm Chuck Mirage, your host. We'll see you next time.